Thank you, Nita. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you. Good morning. Actually, on that note, let's dive right into the passage where we left off in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 23, beginning verse 12. The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. Next morning, they formed a conspiracy. The next morning, they said they weren't going to eat or drink until Paul was dead. I knew it. Mornings are the problem. You say good morning. I joke around. I say that's an oxymoron. Doesn't make sense. If you come here regularly, it's something that comes out. I don't know. It comes out from me quite often that I'm not a morning person. You probably know I'm not a morning person if you come here. Mornings, I like to say they are of the evil one. And actually, we know there are no mornings in the new heavens and the new earth because there's no evenings. So we're not going to have to go through. I can't even make this up. This morning, so 3 hours ago, I am asleep in bed. 3 hours ago, I'm asleep in bed, and I'm having a dream that I'm right up here, having forgotten everything that I planned on talking about. Everything is going wrong. Ryan comes up. He starts singing a song, and I'm like trying to whisper. I'm like, we're not ready for that. What's going on? And then, and I wake up. This happened exactly like that 3 hours ago. I wake up. I call that a harsh wake up. I call that a harsh wake up where suddenly I'm just like merging into these like partial reality where there is responsibilities that I have starting to be pressed upon me, cares, concerns. You start to feel it. I don't like mornings, right? Well, eventually, as I keep going, there is a point. There's a point. Coffee usually has something to do with it. There is a point usually where I start to settle more into reality, and I start to feel usually like, you know what? I'm happy to be alive. I'm glad that I'm awake. I don't want to go back to bed. And I guess, on that note, what I would want to do this morning, what my plan is for all of us, is, well, we do have to do a little bit of that harsh wake-up experience where, like, reality starts to come on, partial reality, you know, starts to... We're going to do a little bit of a harsh wake-up. You'll see what I mean by that. But, the real prayer is that we're going to be brought into that place where we're like, you know what? I am happy to be alive. I'm happy to be living this life, okay? You don't know what I'm talking about? You will. Okay, let me pray. Father God, I pray that you would do it. You would bring us to that place, Lord, where we are happy and happy to be alive with you, happy to know the truth, happy to feel the truth. Jesus, Son of God, Holy Spirit, Father, you are with us. You are with us. You are with us. Let us know that. Let us feel that. Let us live in that reality, Lord. By faith, Holy Spirit, work this morning. In your name, Jesus, amen. Okay, so what's going on here? The Apostle Paul is in prison. That's where we left him. He is in prison, and while he's actually in prison, really for his own safety, because they're trying to kill him on the outside, and so he's in custody, and while he's in custody, people are plotting against him. There's actually 40 people that are conspiring against him, scheming to take him down. Okay, here is the harsh wake-up. How do I say it? If you have heard the message of salvation, of forgiveness in the name of Jesus, forgiveness, our sins washed away by his blood, if you've heard that and you've said, I want to be part of that. I want to be a Christian. I want to believe. I want to live. I want to walk with him. If you have said that, if you have signed up for salvation, you have also volunteered yourself. You've also enlisted yourself in a very active war. When people get baptized, we give them a t-shirt that has a little rain, a little drop of water, and it says, made new. We could have just as easily given them a t-shirt with a target on it. Because when you volunteer yourself to the family of Jesus, when you accept the call to salvation, you have enlisted yourself in a war. And like the Apostle Paul, there is enemies scheming, conspiring against you. So what we're going to actually do this morning is we're going to go over some of the basics of this spiritual battle, this war that we find ourselves in. Think of it like basic training, okay? Very, very basic, like, who is the enemy? What are the objectives in this war? And most importantly, how do we fight? That's the plan for this morning. And maybe we'll wage some of this war together. Okay. Let's start with that. Who are the enemies? Who is the enemy? Ephesians chapter 6, let's put it on the screen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We have a struggle. We wrestle. We fight. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Very important. People are never our enemy. And actually, if we start to see people as our enemy, we are starting to lose the battle. That's one of the many traps of the evil one. People are never the enemy. Even people that are scheming against the Apostle Paul, he has a deep love for them. The uniqueness, we talked about this recently here. The uniqueness of Christian love is to love those who want to do us harm. Love those who hurt us, who reject us, who oppose us, to pray for them, to bless them, to not see them and count them as our enemies, but to count them as loved. That is the Christian call. So our battle is not against flesh and blood, but nevertheless, we have a battle, and we see here who it is against. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's evil schemes. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers. That wording, rulers, authorities, it actually paints a picture of a kingdom of darkness that is organized, that is strategic. It's not just like wild demons floating all over the place doing crazy like things like a rabid animal. No. There is strategy here working against us. And I actually remember talking with a pastor not that long ago, and he said to me, he said, nowadays you can't talk about the devil at church because people live in a secular worldview. They're not ready to think or accept things like that. It's better to just talk about hard circumstances that work against us. It's better to just talk about evil that you see in this world. And I can understand what you're saying. Like, maybe people aren't ready to hear that. But guess what? We have to hear that. Because if you don't know that there is someone scheming against you, you're not going to be prepared You're not going to be prepared for the war that you're in. It's not just hard, difficult circumstances. It's not just people. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The Greek word is something like methodos or something. It means there is something strategic going on against you. Okay, well, how does this work? Why must we know this? Well, we must know this because, I'll give you an example here. What I feel when I wake up in the morning on a Sunday morning and I feel like, you know what, I'm not quite as prepared as I would like to be. Everyone is coming. I'm sitting in my office. Feel like, you know, the Apostle Paul in jail here. I feel stuck. This happened to me. It happens to me somewhat regularly, but it happened to me very acutely this morning. I'm in my office. I know you guys are coming. I'm looking at what I plan to say, and I'm like, I don't know if this is really clear in my head. I don't really know if I can quite communicate this in the right way. I feel like the walls are closing in. I'm starting to feel a little bit afraid, you know? I can look at it from that perspective and only that perspective. I can look at the circumstances and I can say, hey, there is reason for fear here, right? I'm afraid. This is a scary situation. You guys know that. You've been in those situations where you're like, hey, this is scary. This is scary. Ah, yes, wait, but if we are well aware of what the scripture is talking about, as we start to feel fear, we should also be hearing something else. Enemy approaching. Do you understand? It's not just hard circumstances. Be well aware there is an enemy, and what I want from us is for us to have that radar, that sense of when the enemy is approaching, so we don't just see things through the eyes of flesh and blood and worldly cares and concerns and circumstances. And what I just said, fear, that's one of the big ones. The Lord God has not given us a spirit that makes us afraid. So if you start to feel afraid, you have to know, where is this coming from? Because it's not coming from God. Enemy approaching, and there are other things, you know. Is my wife in here? Okay, good, she's not. Oh, darn it, she is. Okay. No, I have the best wife. I brag about her all the time. And you hang out with me, you hear that. I have the best wife. But sometimes, no, actually, I have the best wife, period. But sometimes, she does things that I don't understand, and in my mind, I can feel like she doesn't care about me, she doesn't value me, she doesn't understand me, and I don't understand her. And there's no hope for us ever to be really happy. Like, those moments I can feel those moments, okay? And if I'm just looking at it through the eyes of the world, I can just kind of wrestle with those thoughts. But if I am well aware of what this passage is speaking of, at the same time, enemy approaching, be aware. Be aware where those thoughts are coming from. Be aware that there is someone trying to take you down. There is someone scheming against you. Be aware. I get an email. I get an email from a friend. I get an email from a brother, a sister in Christ, who knows me and cares about me, and I know them and care about them. And they say a bunch of stuff. And then they ask me a question that maybe sounds a little critical. And I can be like, you know what? They don't like me. They don't. You know what I mean? I can start reading into something that isn't really there. Something that is starting to cause like a sense of like disunity, right? Or a sense of, instead of like comfort and love, kind of like fear, anxiety, tension. Enemy approaching. Recognize that unity, oneness, is at the heart of what God wants. And so many of these things that he's working towards is working to prevent that. The word Satan in the Old Testament, Satan, the word Satan means adversary.
He opposes the work that God is trying to do. God wants to bring forth oneness. It's who he is. He wants us to reflect oneness. God is love. He wants us to walk in love, to know his love, to know his comfort. And the enemy, that is what he is seeking to oppose. That is his goal. His goal is not simply to kill you. His goal is not simply to make you do bad things, to make you sin, to tempt you. The deeper goal that he has is to separate you, from the comfort, the peace, the life, the love of God in your mind. Here's a big scheme, a big one. Be aware of this. Fear is one of the big things that he works towards, disunity, but this is another one. You do something foolish. You sin. Or maybe you do something and you feel like maybe it's a sin. I don't know. But something happens. Or maybe you're just reminded of something that you've done. Or maybe it's just kind of like adding up in your mind. And you feel, well, the word that we use is shame. You feel a sense of shame. You just don't feel worthy, good, lovable. You don't feel special. You feel shame. Dun, dun. Enemy nearby. That is a major tool of the enemy. We must be aware of these things. Fear, shame, disunity. If I had more time, I could go on and speak of some of the other tactics, schemes of the devil. I don't have so much time, but those are some of the big ones. Those are some of the big ones to recognize. And, okay, well, having said that, having walked through that, recognizing a little bit of the way he works, maybe we should move into how we fight, how we oppose his schemes, when we recognize, when we hear that alarm going off, what do we do? Okay. How shall I begin this? Well, the passage that we have on the screen, if we put it back on, passage we have on the screen, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand. Take your stand. And if you keep reading this section on the spiritual armor, I think that this word to stand is, I think it's like four times. Like, take your stand. And that would actually be a great passage to read and to consider. But I want to do something else that communicates really the same thing, because we are, after all, doing a series on the book of Acts, and I'm supposed to be talking about Acts chapter 23. So the Apostle Paul is in custody. He's in jail. And that's a hard circumstance to be in, to feel trapped, and people on the outside are plotting against you. And well, Jesus shows up. That was something Pastor Cheryl said last week. God shows up in the chaos. Jesus showed up. Let's put that verse on the screen again. It was on last week. Acts chapter 23, verse 11. Acts chapter 20, verse 11 says this. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome. Now, this little verse here is more significant than, you know, you might give it credit for. This is something we need to lean in for, and let me tell you why. Something unique is happening here. Jesus, in the flesh, is making a personal house call, so to speak. In the last days, God speaks through his people, often through prophecy, through visions, through dreams, through sometimes even like sending an angel. You see that in the book of Acts. But this is unusual. On this occasion, Jesus himself in the flesh, not a vision, Jesus in the flesh is showing up to talk with Paul. So what he has to say should be very much paid attention to, because he's saying something very, very important. And let's just focus here on this part. He says, take courage. Okay, now I got some kids. If I say to my little boy, he's got to go to, he's got to see Dr. Destunis. He's got to go to the dentist, and he's scared. I might say, hey, Joshy, come on, take courage, be brave. That's not the entirety at all of what Jesus is saying here. This isn't just be brave. Because the power of where this shall come from lies in the one who is saying it. If I tell my boy to be brave, that's not the same thing as if Jesus shows up and says, take courage. Because when Jesus says it, this is something you see in the Bible, different times, different ways. It's be brave, take courage, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear, have I not sent you? I am with you, I am the one sending you, so you don't need to be afraid. I am with you, so you don't need to be afraid. This is what it means to stand firm. And to further communicate this, we're talking about how we fight against the schemes of the devil. I'm going to say something that is bold. Say something that is not an overstatement. Listen to this. Pay attention. If this is the only thing you catch today, catch this. In this spiritual war, in this life, there is one thing and only one thing that is needed of you. One thing. There is one thing that God wants you to do. One thing and only one thing. Do you hear that? This is how you fight. What is the one thing? The one thing is to trust him. That's the only thing. That is the only thing that is needed of you in life and in this spiritual war. The only thing. And until you can rest in that, until you can trust that, you're going to be vulnerable to the enemy. When these things come against you, trust me, the voice of God, be brave, I am with you. Take courage, trust me. Now, even having said that, when I say that is the only thing, someone is thinking, well, that's not the only thing. I know there's other stuff we're supposed to do. I mean, we're supposed to care about people. We're supposed to love people. We're supposed to do good things. We're supposed to be nice and not mean. And there's lots of things. We shouldn't sin, right? We shouldn't do bad things. We shouldn't say bad things. Like, it's not like the only thing that we're supposed to do. Those other good things, those other good deeds, call it that if you will, those other good things are the fruit of this. Abide in me, apart from me, you can do nothing. Those other things flow out of getting this one thing right. Remember Jesus, Martha, and Mary, our staff team talks about this all the time. Martha is stressed out with cares and concerns. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you're concerned with many things. One thing is needed. One thing alone. Mary, meanwhile, is just sitting and being with Jesus. That's the only thing that's needed. The only thing. Be still and know that I am with you. Well, I think I wrote this down somewhere. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. You only need to be still. The Lord will fight for you. Jesus is Savior. That's what it means. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who fights for us. This and only this is required of you, to trust him. That is how we fight this fight, by trusting Jesus. He's with us, he sees, he cares, he loves. So easy, right? No, it's not easy. No, I'm in my office on Wednesday, putting this sermon together exactly like this. Seeing this point, he just wants us to trust him. He needs us to trust him. That's the main thing. That is how we fight this fight. That's what it means to stand firm. It means to stand firm, not in yourself, but because he's with us. And I'm like, trust him. That's all he wants. Trust him. And it's like 4:45. So I'm gonna leave in like 15 minutes. Go home, hang out with the family, cook and all that. And I get some sort of message across my desk. And it's one of those messages that just make you be like, oh no. Something just in my gut just kind of fell. And I don't need to get into what it is. But my initial thought was, I guess I can't go home now. I guess I have to stay late, work. I gotta fix this. This stuff in my mind, I gotta pay attention to it and I gotta fix it, you know? That's what God needs from me right now. And then the next song that came on my Spotify that was playing, it's like, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And I'm like, fine, I'm gonna go home. I'm not gonna go down that road. I'm not gonna go down that road of anxious toil. I'm not gonna do it. I shut my laptop, even as I was not feeling good. And I start driving home. I'm trying to do it, right? I'm trying to trust Jesus. Like, I know it. I'm preparing a sermon. I know that that's what he wants, but I'm just feeling this sense of heaviness, you know? The feelings of trust just were not there, even though I was striving for that. And I get home, and I just go outside in my backyard. And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to call a friend. And I had to talk to Roger about something else. I don't know if he's floating around here somewhere. But anyways, oh, there he is. I had to talk to Roger about something else. And so I'm like, I'm going to call Roger. And I call him. I'm like, hey, man. I'm feeling heavy-hearted, you know. I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? And he's like, oh, where do I begin? And right then, all of my anxiety is out the window. All of my fear, gone. He didn't even have to explain what was going on. Because, you know what? When he said that, it was just an instant reminder. We are in the same struggle. We have the same enemy. I could just see through. I could see through my own weaknesses and how the devil messes with me. I could see. You know, put this next verse on the screen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Hear this. This is my point. This one thing that God wants from us in the fight. What is the one thing? Once more. To trust him. The one thing and the only one thing. We do this together. Apart, the devil will overtake us. He'll mess with our mind. Okay? We'll try to trust him. Won't be able to. Together. I will know that you stand firm in one spirit. Together. You know, it's interesting that Jesus showed up in the flesh for Paul, because Paul was in prison. He didn't have anyone else. I was feeling anxious. Jesus did not show up in the flesh. But what are we? What are we called? We are the body of Christ. We are the flesh of Jesus. I was able to talk to Roger, right? We need this. We do this together. There's one thing. There is one thing only that is needed: to trust him. That's how we wage war. That's how we fight. And we do this together. Stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. One more passage. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. We have an enemy. Resist him, standing firm in the flesh, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. When I talked to Roger, it was like, this is the same thing. We are facing the same lies in different ways. And I was able to hear his situation, and, you know, we remind each other. Yeah, Ryan, perfectly. Come up. I need you up here. We're able to remind each other. The God that we have has promised to work out all things for good. You can go and read Acts 23, the schemes of the enemy, those people plotting against him. Jesus used that to bring Paul closer to where God wanted him to be, to shine for him. The struggles that we face, God uses them. He works them out for good. No need to fear. What is the one thing that God requires of us? Let's just make sure we're on the same page. What is the one thing and the only one thing? Okay, how do we do that? Together, okay? We get this right as a church, everything else will flow from it. The fruit, the good deeds, the impact, it'll flow from that. So what we're gonna do now, what we call the response time. So if you have children, you can put that thing on the screen. If you have children, go get them sometime soon. But what we're gonna do now is we're gonna try to exercise some of this. We're gonna swing the sword of the Spirit, so to speak. We're gonna try to exercise together some of these things. So I'm just gonna lead us in some prayer. Before we do this together, as we do this together, on this note. Lord God, Jesus, we trust you. Help us trust you more. Lord, we trust you with our lives. Help us trust you more. Lord, we trust you with the deep things in our heart, the deep desires that only you know about. As you've said, delight yourself in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. Lord, you see that. The desires of our heart, Lord. We trust you with that. We trust you with the desires of our heart. Help us trust you more. Lord, the ways we fail you, our sin. Your blood has washed away our sin. We trust you to work even that, even our sin. We trust you to work it out for good, to forgive, to wash, to renew, to restore. Lord, we trust you. Help us trust you more. Lord, our health, our bodies, our minds, our physical health, our mental health. Though my heart and my flesh may fail, you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Lord, in sickness and in health, Lord, we trust you. Help us trust you more. Lord, The things that we are anxious about, things that I don't know, but all of us know, the things that we are anxious about, the things that are heavy on our minds as we think about waking up on Monday morning and getting back into life, the things that weigh on us, Lord. We trust you. Help us trust you more. Lord, our marriages. Lord, without you, the enemy will seek to break oneness, Lord. We need your help. We trust you, Jesus. Help us trust you more. Lord, our children, we want to model to them what it means to live for you, Lord. We want them to have the life that we have in you. We want them to know you. We don't always know how to do this, Lord. We need your help. Lord, with our children, we trust you. Help us trust you more. Our jobs, Lord. Our responsibilities, our school, the worldly demands that are placed upon us, Lord. Help us live through these things as people of trust, as people of light, Lord. Help us see these things as areas you want to send us into as your people, Lord. Help us not just see these things as worldly responsibilities, but help us see these as the places you are sending us, and let us hear the words, "Fear not. Have I not sent you?" Lord, with these things, we trust you, and we ask for you to help us trust you more. Lord, our church, our ministries, our neighborhood groups, our staff team, our church, Lord, we need you giving everything. We need you giving the wisdom. We need you giving us the sensitivity to your spirit to know how to follow you. We need you keeping us as one, walking in unity. Lord, we trust you. Help us trust you more. And Lord, those who are in the prisons, the chains, Lord, those who are mentally just pushed past the point that they can endure, Lord. Help them trust you, Lord. Our friends, help them trust you, Lord. Those who are in chains for the gospel, the persecuted church around the world, those who need you showing up in the flesh, Lord, show up in the flesh. Those who need divine comfort, Lord, grant it. For we are in this together, Lord. And Lord, for the resurrection that you've promised, for the new heavens and the new earth, the promise to restore us to perfect, enduring physical health, mental health, forever, the promise of a new body, the coming of your kingdom, Lord. Lord, we trust you for this. Help us trust you more, Jesus. Help us together trust you more. In your name, Jesus, amen. Friends, if you would stand, let's worship together.